Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory, the podcast. We're all back, which is nice. I wish we had Jerry here, but we're talking season three finale. What episode?
Okay, this is, I can't wait till we don't have to do this anymore. Season 3B, episode 8. So that's
what do you mean you can't wait until we...
I mean, it's just the 3B. It's
okay,
just
but that means we will be done with the
adios, amigos, the whole thing? Season 3. This will close out season 3.
Great. I got to say, it's pretty impressive, and I know there's some angry little fuckers out there, but we've done 160... some odd episodes, and we've only covered
That's how to have the longevity on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, we would have been out of episodes.
We have some complainers, though. I think there's people who generally like when we talk about other things also, but some aren't. They just want to hear about the episodes, and that's fine.
So that's fine, but you know what? The numbers
are good, huh?
The numbers don't lie.
They are my favorites. I love doing the episodes. Yeah. And this one was great.
This one was great. And you know, the thing is...
Adios, amigos.
I wish we would just get our ass in gear and get some of these guests. Because first of all, I could have gotten Colleen Camp, who played the realtor, which we'll get into the story
of
why she's
there. We want to talk about that. There's a lot going on.
Great actor.
She also played some other parts, if you recall. The old jacuzzi scene where I get bent over in the jacuzzi scene.
She gave you the rim job, right?
Best rim job in Hollywood.
Right. And she filled in for us the last second because somebody quit. We'll get to that.
So, but also, Adam Goldberg. Now, we just watched it 5 minutes ago. I'm already forgetting. But Reese should come back.
Reese is so good in this episode.
He really was.
And no offense to Rob Weiss, who, you know, is one of our great contributors to this show. But I offered him because that... We've talked about it before, but Billy Walsh was based on Rob Weiss, who wrote on Entourage and made a great movie in the 90s amongst friends. And I said, Rob, play yourself. And we also tried to get Vincent Gallo to play himself.
Vincent Gallo would have been great.
He would have been very good.
Yeah. Gallo's an
You know what? Awesome. And Vincent Gallo is amazing.
But it's impossible
Rob's
to
amazing.
Imagine anybody.
I don't think anyone could be better than Reese.
No. Reese is as good as it gets.
And watching this now, because I have no recollection of the show anymore.
Talk about making it your own.
Reese. Yeah, he really did. But, you know, we've talked about a little bit on the Offer, which is the show, which is a great show about the making of The Godfather. And you really see the behind the scenes. But the truth is, as absurd as some of the circumstances the porn sets seem in this show, it's very realistic look at trying to make a movie with a crazy director, a crazy financier. And, you know, we just did it with Ramble On, and you deal with some of this stuff, and you have those egos and you have the stuff. So it was very
real. For context, still looking for our money from Eddie Eaton because it didn't work out. And I was right. As it turns out, Vince does not go upstairs to bang Yair's wife.
Kevin is talking about the last episode we talked about a couple of weeks ago where Yair offered...
he says, go fuck my wife. I will play billiards with your friends. And I will play billiards with your friends. And we were going... Did he do it? I'm like, and I said, there's no way that Doug and these guys, or even HBO, would let your lead character do something. That would have been a terrible look.
By the
Vince.
Way, we were at a place terrible during season three at this point. HBO would have let me do anything. There really was. They had finally released us to do what we wanted. So we could have done anything.
That would not
but
have been a good
also,
look.
Also, and
Vince.
I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, but I had a call, a business call, which came from these guys have a story about that takes place in Medellin, which is crazy, about this guy
Medellin, this guy
who's from Arkansas, a businessman, and moved to Medellin, and they want to make a movie about it. And I swear to God, they didn't remember the Yair stuff from Entourage. And they started telling me they were dealing with this Saudi. And I swear to God, they went to a party where the Saudi had two guys have sex with his wife in front of this entire crowd.
Jesus.
And it was, and then I sat on the Yair seat and they were dying. They said, that's what it felt like. So some people say we're over the top with this and that. It's realistic. And this episode, you know, watching it now, Mark Mylod directed it, who it looks beautiful. It moves crazy.
We're moving out of that gigantic house. Now, why are we moving out of that house?
I don't know, because I love that house.
Well, we know why. I mean, well, truthfully, we couldn't.
Vince is broke.
We lost the house.
Right?
Vince is broke because he's trying. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Vince is sinking all of his money.
This is where you're all going to end up at Johnny Drama's apartment.
Right. I'll tell you, though, this episode, this stuff with the real estate, I'm going through this right now, which we talked about this when we had that earlier
Drama's
episode.
Looking for a place to live.
Yeah, well, they all are kind of, you know, searching for places. He's moving in with Sloan. But I'm looking for places to live right now. anywhere from, I've talked about it, Florida to the desert to San Diego to Colorado. I don't know what I'm doing. But we had that episode on early where the guys are looking for a house. And the truth is, nothing changes. I have some pretty good money. I've done okay. You look around, it's the most depressing thing to look at real estate. You always realize you're just not rich enough to get what you want, no matter where it is.
And it is funny, some of those numbers, and of course, again, this is a long time ago, but some of the numbers on the rent that we're talking about would be laughable now.
Well, by the way, I forgot.
You know what you get for $2,500 in LA?
But that not condo was 1.5. It still wasn't cheap, but that same condo would probably be 2.5.
It was 1.4, but you paid 1.5.
Let me tell you
something. That's right.
That condo that we were looking at, if it was in Beverly Hills, like the addition or something, it would be way north of $5 million. Way north. That looked like a huge place with wraparound windows and views everywhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, you remember them. Don't you remember? It was a two-bedroom,
Kev,
big living room, great kitchen.
I don't think that's where we end up. I mean, I think...
Isn't that the same?
I don't think it is.
It looks exactly
like it. Looks like that Ron Jeremy building, doesn't it?
That's where we land. That's where we end up, but we did not shoot that there.
I really have no recollection of that apartment. By the way, the realtor in that scene was great also. Yeah, I don't remember who he was. We should know who it was. But
all right, so we got the...
I want to interject one thing, because speaking of money, it's the only time I get to talk to you, like, is on the podcast, because he doesn't listen to me off the podcast. I wanted to do this story on the show, because I always thought it would be funny, and I had a situation with one of my best friends with borrowing money, and I always thought it would be really funny if Turtle borrowed money from Drama. But you borrowed a little money from me, so am I getting it back? Or?
Well, is that... Now that we're talking about
Now
that we're talking about
this. I didn't know you were lending out money, Doug. I could use a couple bucks.
By the way, I thought it was a bridge loan for 12 hours.
Investing into the Action Park merch. Is that what the silent treatment? I got the freeze out from Doug yesterday.
No, you did. What freeze out?
It was a little bit of a freeze out. I want to talk about it on the air.
What are you talking about? You called me. I called you 90 seconds later.
I said you call me when you can.
And I called you 90 seconds later, and you didn't answer.
Is that true?
Yeah, you can check your missed calls.
All right,
by the way, did you see how he...
a little bit of the freeze out.
Did you see how he distracted that? So
well, we
I am getting my money back.
Of course we're getting
a little deflection.
Because I will send fucking Dylan after you.
We were in like...
I just want to cut.
Doug and I were in the middle of that conversation, and the phone cut out. Like mid-conversation. Lucky for me, the phone cut out.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get the guy. Then I couldn't get the guy for the next 12 hours. I'm like, I don't
know. No, but yesterday I called you 90 seconds back, because yesterday just quick ramble on update. But, you know, we met with a big...
Well, let's hear it.
Well, it's a management company, but a big management company that I wants to represent the show.
I'm wearing my ramble on shirt today.
What? Oh, you wore that in the show?
This is wardrobe.
Oh, shit. That's a spoiler.
A little spoiler.
We'll have to blur that out.
Did you steal the ramble on wardrobe?
I steal my wardrobe, bro. You know that.
You know the ramble on wardrobe is in the basement?
No.
It's in the basement.
Might be a couple other things I need. I got to rifle through
that's the other thing I want to talk about, since we're talking about Action Park Media. I pulled up today, and last week I said to Sarah, pregnant, 6-month pregnant Sarah.
I think you're giving them terrible advice, bro.
Which part?
You're better off parking in the back.
All right, so what we're talking about is we had an armed robbery in the back. We had someone get a tire slashed in the back. We had a car broken in the back. We had a car broken in the front. But when I pulled up today, I mean, it looked like there was a homeless encampment in front of your entrance.
Yeah, they sleep there.
Wow.
They sleep
Who
there.
Who cleaned it up? Because I drove away. I went to breakfast with my son, who's here, Lucas. Played Jonah. And I was like, I can't believe this.
By the way, thankfully, because we also have guests here today, I was going to have to clean it. Dave was at the dentist. I'm like, I'm going to get stuck cleaning.
What do you mean clean it?
People, it's like, it would be like if you took all your clothes out of your drawer or like it was just somebody's entire...
By the way, it looked
wardrobe.
Like Dylan's car in Hawaii.
It was just left there on
just
the sidewalk?
Sitting there on the sidewalk. And luckily, our guy that comes on Fridays to clean the office, he saw me like, he said, I'll take care of it.
Was there human feces?
No, there's no, but just like people leave clothes.
What happened to the guy who owned those things? You know what I mean? This poor guy lost all his belongings.
This just happened. He'll be back looking for it.
But also,
and our homeless guy in this parking lot, our homeless guy is ripped.
Oh, no.
He's jacked and he's ripped.
You know what his workout schedule is?
I don't know, but he's ripped and he's... I put our homeless guy up against any homeless guy.
There's also,
we can do those bum fights. You know the bum fights?
There's a homeless couple on the corner too. I mean, it's really...
They're everywhere.
But they're like a couple, and they look... It's like, I don't know if you ever saw Sid and Nancy, but they look like really in love, and they look... I'm looking for houses, and I'm depressed all day. They looked kind of content on Sweetser. I don't know.
Yo, the only thing about our... The good thing about our ripped homeless guy is that he just, nobody else is coming. Like, it's just at least him.
So you think he's
so take care of him. He could be like security for the block.
I could do without his clothes on the porch, but he, but like he locks it down. Like he, nobody else is fucking hanging out in that parking lot.
Let's give him a couple of bucks to watch the car.
No, I do like, it's funny. Like I'll say, hey man, can I get you a water or something? He's like, shh. Like, he like wants a beer. He's like, what else you got?
Water.
Water.
Scotch and water, maybe. Yeah,
well, Dylan, I got some very good news for you, by the way. What because, do you got, bro? Tom Kelly's a friend of mine that does a lot of marketing and branding. They heard, actually, they heard and watched you destroy Connolly's carpet with your Cheeto fingers.
Are they going to really send a box
they
of
are
Cheetos?
Sending Cheetos. They asked for Dave's number. Man. I don't know if they're coming
God
today.
God forbid
but...
they bought some ads.
Yeah, I love my Cheetos, man. Ads? I love my Cheetos.
By the way, we'll have an announcement coming out. Actually, it'll already be out when this airs, but I figure we'll just wait until the next one. We got some Action Park news coming. It's good for everybody.
All right. Good for everybody.
Means for I'm getting my loan money back? Is that possible?
It's going to come in payments. It's coming in installments.
All right, so let's get into this episode after the break.
You know, when you do the same workout over and over and over again, it can get boring, all right? You gotta keep it fresh. You got to keep mixing it up. You don't want to do the same thing. It's just tough to stay motivated. You burn out so easy. That's why Peloton is pushing you further with so much more on the Peloton Bike and Peloton Bike Plus. There's new classes, new music, new ways to keep your workouts fun and motivating. You know, I've been mixing it up. I tried boxing, and Peloton is stepping into the ring with its newest discipline. No gloves needed. Fast, furious, a fun workout with Peloton instructors in your corner. Even if you've never boxed before, these classes will have you working up a sweat while working on the fundamentals of form, footwork, and fun combos that'll keep you on your toes. There's more daily workout variety. You know, it's way easier to stick to your goals when you keep your workouts interesting. Peloton has a workout for every day and every schedule. De-stress from a long day with 30 minutes of strength and 20 minutes of cardio, or do a quick 15-minute total body workout class before work. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. That's onepeloton.com.
All right, welcome back, Victory, the podcast, season 3B, episode 8,
which closes out the 20-episode season 3, Adios Amigos. So the storylines, again, we're just all old because we don't know why we lost the house. Because it's Vince is broke. Everybody's going their separate ways.
Yeah, Vince is broke, right?
Right, and drama actually says, like, hey, we all have to maybe start considering life on our own.
You know who may have the answer.
Lucas.
Lucas Ellen.
Say, hey, Dave, get Lucas. Is Lucas there? Hey, Luke, jump on the mic for a second.
He knew every line. We just watched the episode. Lucas, he knew every line
Lucas
of that.
Who played Jonah. Let me just give you a little intro. Lucas.
By the way, Lucas who played Jonah is now freaking 6'2", and he's wearing a tank top.
He barely wears a shirt anymore. He hates shirts. But Jonah, who, you know, by the way, there's a shirt outside if you want it, Lucas, on Connolly's porch. But Lucas, who played Jonah, you know, your whole life, as you're going to find out now, and I guess I am as well, you want your kids to think you're cool.
Thank God Lucas has gone back and watched and finds that his dad does more than play pickleball.
But the truth is that, you know, his fraternity, his pledge name was Lloyd and Entourage. And these young kids, they're watching the show and they like it, which is very cool.
And crazy that we're asking Lucas.
The first thing they said to me when I got there, they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Lucas Ellen. Are you related to Doug Ellen? I'm like, I am. They're like, okay, your job as a pledge is you're going to be my personal assistant. And you're going to respond to one name and one name only, and that name is Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Lloyd!
Now, and Lucas, this is the guy that came to the bank on the Ramble On set that day, right?
Okay. Yeah.
It's really great, though, to see, A, that he now finally... Respect.
Wait. So no, he didn't watch. Clearly, he was too young to be watching it.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Lucas was acting.
So
in it,
when did you start watching it?
I probably started watching when I was what do you think, Dad? 15 or 16?
Probably 15.
But yeah. I just finished watching the show for probably the 10th or 11th time.
I was impressed. You knew every line,
yeah,
man.
And
every
Lucas,
line.
I also would imagine that you have. Obviously, you're a little bit older, a little bit more mature. It's got a different. Feels different when you watch it now as opposed to when you were 15. You probably have a better appreciation for it.
Yeah? Oh, for sure. Of course. And I mean, you know, when you're watching it when you're younger, you don't really understand like the business side of things and stuff like that. And then, you know, you look at it now. I think the thing that people love so much about Entourage is like the agent side of it. So, I mean, everybody I know who like watches Entourage is like, oh, I want to be, you know, Ari Gold. I want to be an agent.
They didn't say they want to be me.
or a producer.
Well, what I could tell you though about this episode, actually, I mean.
Lucas, why are we leaving the house?
Why are we what?
Why are we moving out of that house?
Well, my dad's. is afraid that he's going to get mugged when he walks out.
No. he's gone back to real life. It's so confusing.
The lines are blurry.
In the show, why was Vince moving out of that
why
house?
Are we
Do you have any ideas?
House?
Oh, well, because he paid for Medellin, and so yeah. he didn't have enough
We're
money.
Low on
he was
cash.
Broke. I mean, at the end of it, I go, bro, you're more broke than me, man.
Right.
So,
okay.
But the truth is the attitude.
The truth is we lost the house
the
production.
The truth is the attitude that, well, that's true. But the attitude that Vince has, which is whatever, let's just go.
And, don't worry about
you
it.
Know, and Dylan, of course, has the other attitude that's closer to my real life of everything's desperate and desperation and looking at that condo. He doesn't give a shit. It's like, just live. And, you know, I want to be in there, but obviously I don't know if he actually even takes that place, but I know it's going to not end well if he does. But the episode, though, it really was great. And you said I was going to cringe before. You know, it doesn't make me cringe. It actually felt really real.
Yeah. I mean, you were thinking about all the porn star stuff.
It's so funny.
The midget and all that.
Whoa. Ho.
It's a little person.
Jerry Jones is in serious trouble for saying that word. We're not.
Little person.
Yeah. We should actually have a list of words that people are going to try to catch.
Or not allowed to say. We'll just pin them up on the wall.
Yeah.
But Doug, we talked about this, but the Emmanuel Sloan in this, it's so that's you and I were looking at laughing at each other about. So I'm moving into her apartment because I have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to show up with all my boxes and we're having a celebratory lunch that I cancel. Right. Because we have to go meet Ari. And she's like, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
We'll just do dinner. We'll do dinner. Then we have to go to dinner with Nikki Rubenstein. Blow off. Hey, gotta skip this.
It's okay. I understand.
Hey, what'd you do? Like, oh, not much. Just on the porn set, bunch of naked girls. Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, this woman does not exist. In
no, no, she does not exist. And you know what you say? The worst line I think I've probably ever written. And I don't know if I'm on the set that day because I'm not even sure I would have let you perform it that way. Certainly not today. But she says, like, what's our future, essentially? And you basically, I honestly said,
you know what? I never thought about it.
Yeah, I'm too busy to even think about it.
I'm
but
so
I'm like,
busy that I can't think about you, lunch, dinner, or our future.
But I would like to take over your whole apartment, leave all my shit here, go to Columbia for 6 months, and I hope you'll be waiting. You're only, like, beautiful. And Connolly looks, he really does look like he's 14 years old in this now when I watch it. You like, you look really young, even though you still do, but it's almost, I get why people were like, what? What is this little boy going like? You got this great woman and you treat her like shit.
You know, one of the things for actors out there, and Dylan, you could talk a little bit about this because Dylan is a master of this. Like, it's called the director gives you business, right?
Yeah.
So we're in the apartment and we're unpacking, like, E and Sloan unpack boxes, right? Yeah. Now, well, that's in the script, but then it comes and you actually have to break that, you know, actually have to act that out. Dylan was always way ahead of it. Dylan was there early and like, all right, I need scrambled eggs.
I usually had a lot of kitchen stuff, so I could kind of plan that out at home, like what I wanted to do.
Right.
So that would be part of
you would work on
crap.
Your business. Like, that's part of an actor's job. Like, I tell young actors that, like, you don't just show up and then you figure it out. You go and you grab.
Because you will be so confused by all the business, you will fuck up your line somehow.
Right.
So you really got to plan.
I think we had a couple of actors on this show that didn't prepare their business before we got there.
Yeah, I mean, walk and talks, too. They will screw you up if you're not ready for a walk and talk.
You got business? Like, we're unpacking boxes and crossing around.
It's
got to
be one perfect take.
Yeah. And look at some of the ridiculous things that I'm pulling out of my box. It's just so stupid.
The dice?
What was that? The dice.
What was that?
Sloan's like, can I put this in the other room? I mean, what woman would not go, okay, this is going in the trash, you know? Stephen Marbury jersey.
Right, by the way, it's just a single dice, like one dice, not even a pair of dice, just a dice.
Die.
And if you look closely, those are like the Rocky IV boxing gloves.
Really?
Yeah, I was wondering what the boxing gloves
are. The Rocky
IV
boxing gloves.
What do you mean the Rocky IV
like
boxing
gloves? Like with the American flag and like the gloves from Rocky IV.
What a nerd he is.
Yeah, and like the Stephon Marbury jersey. And yeah, never thought about the future. And by the way, I'm canceling dinner. And she just does everything with a smile. We'll talk about it later. Oh, I'm so busy. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Imagine that in real life. That's impossible.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go home and try that with Sarah tonight.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Sorry, I can't do the baby shower because I have to be on a porn set tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
But, don't worry, it's all fun.
Reese, his porn name is Wally Balls.
And again, Wally Balls.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, but that killed me, bro. I was
in
the line too.
That episode.
What's that?
He's so great in that episode.
I said Reese. Yeah. I said it to these guys before it started. Reese pitched a perfect game in that episode.
Honestly, really everyone did.
Luke, and what was his line too? When he goes, "I'm going to bring back the wide bush,"
or "I will bite off your line. Fucking nose."
No, he said, "I'm bringing class. I'm bringing
1970s class.
I'm bringing 1970s class back to porn and the wide bush."
Which I don't even know anymore if people know what that means anymore. It's they've never
seen a bush.
We did an episode.
Well, by the way, the greatest line of all time, but there was not a bush in sight on that set, and that's why we were laughing like, "Oh, well,
but didn't we?"
He's not bringing it back on this movie.
Didn't we do an episode where E was like freaked out about that or something like that? What? Someone was shaving and like you know, that's Turtle. When people started like in 2000.
By the way, we got to have Lucas in the booth to answer. He's the only guy that knows the show.
But in like 2002, 2003, I mean, maybe for any younger people listening out there, people didn't shave their parts down below before.
Pre-Manscaped,
maybe,
bro.
I don't even know when.
Well,
1998?
Men didn't.
What?
Men didn't.
Certainly didn't, but women didn't. Porn was porn. Nobody, they had giant shrubbery.
The landing strip was starting to get popular. I think
probably in the 90s, right?
I think the point is that in the 70s, like when they shot on film, like Boogie Nights days, the wide bush was
And well, prevalent. Sasha Grey said something to you though, Kevin. What did Sasha Grey say when she was on the set?
She did. Sasha Grey should have been in that Wally Balls movie.
We didn't even know her.
Yeah, we didn't know her yet. But
she said something to you on the set.
She did. She said, you know, I asked her, she said, you know, it looks, listen, the cameras are so good that it just doesn't look great in HD.
Meaning
what doesn't look great?
Meaning that, like,
you know, down there, Kevin.
The axe wound?
Jesus Christ.
You know what? Cancel Dylan, not me. I don't want to be
Dylan's already said two things that we're gonna have to bleep out.
You don't have to bleep any of that.
We are our own people.
No.
There's an interesting story,
but it's true. These cameras have come such a long way that, like, the HD is like so there that, you know, I don't know.
I've always liked the look of those things.
There's an interesting story though behind the scenes of this, which I have these voicemails, which I don't know if I should play or not, out of respect for one of the greatest actors of all time, Martin Landau.
By the way, this is a great story. I can't believe we haven't told this.
Martin Landau, we probably did, but you know
what? No, we didn't.
No?
Because I said, I think this was kind of a touchy one because he had just passed away.
Martin Landau, Oscar winner, Emmy winner, probably has a Tony also.
Oh, I believe he got the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, one of the greatest actors to ever live, one of my favorite people of all time who played Bob on the show. Here's what happened, and we can kind of look at a little Hollywood stuff behind the scenes. Martin was probably in his 80s at this point, and he called me up before this season. And I have a rule. Nobody gets cast, not even my son, without going in front of the cameras, and we make sure that myself, Sheila, Lev, whoever else.
You guys set that precedent early and you stuck with it.
Yeah, we're not giving anybody roles. So Martin Landau, who is one of the founders of the Actors Studio, who legitimately is one of the best actors to ever live.
He was in Cleopatra.
He's in so much stuff. And you know, Crimes and Misdemeanors, I think he won the Oscar for. Everybody should watch that Woody Allen movie if you haven't seen it. It's one of my favorite movies. So Martin asked me, season two, could his girlfriend or maybe
coming into season three,
whatever like it was, could you just get her a part so she gets her SAG part? And I said, she needs to read for Sheila. I'm sorry, Martin.
You said that to Martin Landau?
To Martin Landau. And Martin Landau's like, Doug, I think I know a little bit about acting. I'm telling you, she's good. Okay, now, I've dealt with this a lot because a lot of people, when it's their own relationship, they are not able to separate their feelings for somebody and their talents. But she went in front of Sheila Jaffe, and when I say this, I mean it sincerely. She was one of the worst actors I've ever seen go on tape. And I could not even, in good conscience,
what a tough spot,
give her a single line. But our relationship was amazing, by the way, besides this. And he would keep asking and asking and asking. And it was.
But Doug, couldn't you just give her a line and then just not air it?
You know
just,
I could do a lot of things, but I don't want to.
Just help her get her SAG card. You know?
If it doesn't air, I don't think you get it. I don't think. But either way, I don't want to fucking help her get her SAG card. It's not what I'm here for.
The point is that Doug, crazy as this sounds, you know that Doug put himself on tape for Ari? Guy's the creator of the show. He put himself on tape.
Well, you were thinking about playing Ari?
Well, he just wanted to see how.
I was dreaming that I could do it, but I couldn't.
But that's the point. If he, Doug, who's the creator of the show and could do what essentially what he wanted, would even had himself do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to see myself on tape. So
yeah. Lucas had to go in front of Sheila, and right. I didn't tell other people that it was my son. And fortunately, people thought he was good enough that he got the role, and he was amazing. But I, unfortunately, was not good enough. Everybody, including Sheila, saw my reading.
Yeah,
was
I think.
What about when you did the scene with me in the audition scene?
You know, a little different than playing Ari Gold.
Yeah, a little different than lying. Like, a couple of lines here or there is different than
actually. Dylan and you played off each other really well.
Yeah.
Dylan goes in front of him, and he's like, this guy's a fucking animal.
Yeah. I think I got better, but the point is Jeremy is one of the great television actors in the history of the business, and maybe if I spent every waking minute from the time I was a child, maybe I would have been decent, but I wasn't there. But anyway, I was not giving away roles. And I told Martin that, and it got very awkward. But then I wanted Martin back. And as soon as I asked for him to come back, he started in again with this woman. So I said, all right, let me figure it out. So this episode is where this happened. We had two real estate agents. And stupidly enough, I wrote Real Estate Agent 1 and 2, which everyone should know. It's kind of become politically incorrect now not to name a character. It's considered insulting. So now, even
like everybody wants a character name. Like, you don't want
why is that insulting?
I mean, why is anything insulting?
They've been doing that for a million years.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to be named.
But you're, you know, if you're, who are you on Entourage? I was Real Estate Agent 1.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's Johnny Drama's resume.
Exactly.
Right.
It's dead body number 2.
That was real, but now people want, okay, she's Carol, she's Stacy, whatever it is. Okay. It's not going to change the trajectory of their career, but it makes people feel better and that's
better on the IMDb.
But back then, we had Real Estate Agent 1 and Real Estate Agent 2. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm willing to play these tapes yet. I'm not sure if I am.
I don't think right.
But I do own them and they were sent to me and I will never erase them. Martin Landau was one of the greatest people I ever worked with in terms of being awesomely prepared, being easy to work with.
Super easy to work with.
And being just, you know, he fell one day. His leg was purple, not on set, before he got there. And he never complained and did his stuff. And he said, what did he tell you? I've never missed a day of work in like 50 years.
Yeah, and he also does this thing, which I felt terrible about because it was so hot out between takes, out between setups. I was like running to my trailer to like strip down and just be in the air conditioning. It was like hot like that. When Martin Landau would show up to start a scene, you do not leave set until the scene is complete. When they're turning around, you sit on set. You do not leave the set until the scene is complete. That's
so
how he is. And he's banged up. Like, if ever he had a chance to go, right, take a little weight off of his leg, like, leg was hurt, and he did not leave set. He sat in the chair the whole time. It's crazy.
So the script had Realtor 1 and Realtor 2. And the first realtor who shows you, I think, the first condo, and of course I'm stupid, we should know her name. She's amazing, and she's from one of my favorite movies, Arthur. She plays the hooker in Arthur, if you remember at the beginning, when Arthur's drinking with her, and then he goes, oh, you're a hooker?
You're a hooker?
I just thought I was doing great with you, whatever. So she's awesome and was great. But Realtor 1 and Realtor 2. I gave Martin, which Colleen Camp played the role, I gave his girlfriend, gave her, even though I know she stinks, Realtor number 2, because he wore me down so much. Then I would get calls from Martin. She wants to do a Russian accent. She wants to carry a dog. She wants to do this. Now she had like a.
Do you think Martin is behind that?
You know,
like saying, like, develop the character.
You know what? Hard to know. And I wish to God, because he would have come on this podcast, and I believe he would have allowed me to talk about this, which would have been great. Because I love the man, but this was really awful what he did. And so he's calling me constantly. I'm dealing with this two-line part. I'm getting calls, as you know, Kevin.
She's doing the Russian accent. She wants to carry a dog. Yeah. By the way, not good. Pretty good ideas.
Not bad.
Except she can't fucking act. So
first they say, you know, don't work with animals. It's one of the great things.
But really, you know what the first thing is? I'll tell all young people, if you're going to direct a movie, don't work with people who can't act because you're going to get in trouble.
That.
So anyway, I wake up in the morning.
But time frame wise, where is this? Like, are we shooting the episode at this point?
She has
the job.
6 a.m. I wake up and I'm heading to set to get going. The day of. And I have 5 messages. First of all, even then in 2006, nobody leaves voicemails anymore. But Martin left them, which is why I still have them. And I know everybody's going to want to hear them.
Right.
He calls me and basically says there's some type of bizarre mix-up, but he thought his girlfriend was playing Realtor number 1. not realtor number two. Now, realtor number one has a significantly bigger part than realtor number two. Now, in SAG contracts, you guys know, it says very clearly what role you're playing. The sides went to her, which are the correct role. But Martin is leaving this very nice message, how he's been working on the scene. There's like two lines. He's been working on the scene for weeks with her. She's prepared all the stuff, as
actor
I said.
Actor studio shit, right?
With the dog, with the Russian accent, with the whole thing.
God.
And by the way, I'm not sleeping because I'm waiting for this horrific actress to show up with some stupid accent and some pain in the ass dog and how much this is going to screw up my day. But I'm already stressed. But Martin leaves this. I wake up. That's message number one. He's in San Francisco shooting a movie. And something is wrong. His girl got to set, and she was supposed to play realtor number one, but they're telling her she's realtor number two. Anyway, the messages devolve over five messages to, okay, something's going on here, to, okay, what the fuck is going on here, to, I swear, Martin Landau, who was had to be 85 at the time and weigh about 103 pounds, basically threatening me. Like, I don't get angry often, but I'm angry now. You won't like me when I'm angry. And my girlfriend wow. this, my girlfriend that. And then somehow reality struck Martin and realized that his girlfriend is a sociopathic liar because she absolutely knew what she was supposed to be doing. So his last message is very apologetic. And I think he realized that this.
Like, I heard these messages.
Wow.
They are not suitable.
I mean,
for podcast.
Well, it's just, it's not a lot of cursing.
I'm dying to hear these now.
It's not a lot of cursing. It's just, you know, you're talking about one of the greatest actors of all time, who's my very close friend at the time.
I'm also dying to see this girl's performance.
She didn't make it, so it gets worse.
This is it.
Oh my God.
So then I get to set, and she refuses to do the part that she has already signed on to do. So we have no actor. And anyone who's out there knows I'm dealing with 450 things. When I show up and there's no actor on the set, it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Somebody has to replace this. Number one, you want them to be good. Number two, they have to be
sad. So
wait,
she just refused to do it and
she
just went home?
No,
she didn't come at all.
She did not come at all. She did not show up.
When it was confirmed that she was not playing Realtor One, she said, I'm out.
So Colleen Camp, who is honestly a really seasoned actor.
She's great.
She's
producer, great human, and, you know, and had a
hell of a rim job, too. Right?
I was about to say that.
She had to live with the thought that that's
course,
what she did on Entourage.
You do say it. I thought it, but you, yeah. No control.
But Colleen Camp, who you should look her up, was, you know, the Playboy playmate in Apocalypse Now.
She's just...
She was this beautiful French maid in Clue.
She was a French maid in Clue. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. And she's a real actress.
And she's a real producer who's made a lot of movies. And so anyway, I had...
That's how she was played two roles. Dog had to call her out of the bullpen.
So she came in and saved the day.
Yeah.
On the day.
On the minute.
When she already played the realtor in the episode before.
No, she played... No, well, was she a realtor?
Well, she was the...
No, she was the rim job and the realtor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had already played the rim job.
So you're talking about the realtor in this episode.
In this episode. Gotcha. She was in it. Okay. You saw her. That part that she did, Colleen Camp, which was the second realtor.
She showed up on 2 hours' notice, went into hair and makeup, and did the role as a favor.
So
which was nice.
I will always thank her, and I will always feel bad. Martin and I, you know, it was over after that day. He actually, it was a little movie. His messages went from, hi, how are you, to fuck you, to I apologize. So it went through like three acts.
Can you imagine what she was doing to him?
Yeah, I can.
So
I
did
can.
You hear him all?
She wasn't doing what Sloan does to you. I can tell you that.
Did you hear them one at a time? Or did you hear them all? Like it would have been funny to listen to each one back to back.
Well, I woke up and they were all there, like five of them. So it was like a whole.
Kev, it starts like this and then it goes like this. And then the last one was him.
But the bottom line, I wake up, not only is Martin Landau threatening me, but I also realize we don't have an actor because his girlfriend is not showing up.
Not SAG and doesn't like her role isn't big enough.
It's like the episode with Damon where he's screaming at Vince on the voicemails.
By the way, that's what it's like. And we may have to play a snippet of this. I don't know. Well, I know people are going to ask for it. And I always promised myself I would never play it because, you know, but...
It's almost like it would be great to play. If he was alive, we'd be playing it for sure.
If he was alive, he would be here and we'd be talking about it. Right. Hopefully his relationship would be over with that woman, which I couldn't even tell you her name, but she, if you're ever listening to this, you are an awful person. I just want you to know that.
Rookie shit.
You know, and now I'm seeing like, you know, my father, who was the Marvin character was based on, you know, my father is dealing with this. I got to tell you, I mean, I know he doesn't listen to the podcast, but my father, I sent you the picture, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So my father like takes out one of my ex-girlfriend's friends for like 10 years. They go to dinners together. And I've always made fun of my father, who is Marvin, the accountant, who is tight with his money. He's like, she's never getting a nickel from me. Never, ever. She's now 8 months pregnant. My father cannot walk. He's 90. He went to Biblo K, which if anyone's been in the Hamptons to Biblo K, this is a happening place. And my father used every ounce of strength he could to go take out my ex-girlfriend's friend Wednesday night, who's now 8 months pregnant. Right. My father has to be, you know, helped by a couple of my cousins, went with him to go to this thing. And now my father tells me this morning, he's thinking about putting our kid through college, this non-born baby yet. So so I'm just trying to imagine what a great story it would have been. Yeah, the real Marvin.
We're going to have to pass on that one.
But the real Marvin, I mean, on the show, Marvin, can you imagine if we did that story where he was getting a little older and Vince and the guys had to deal with him with this young girl that he's deciding he wants to put the baby through college. So anyway,
he's not putting the baby through college.
That's what I'm dealing with right now. I had my son yelling at him that he'd rather give it to charity.
I'm going
to
veto that one myself.
So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, we'll maybe
we should re-listen to the voicemails. Maybe we play a snippet of it. Like I said, my only thing feels weird is like if it could come off the wrong way. Yeah. And he's not here to defend himself. So, if he was alive, we'd be playing those.
But anyway, yeah. We'll be back after this break. We'll get into this episode more.
No one knows what you're looking for in a doctor better than you. And no one's better at giving you the tools to find the perfect doctor than ZocDoc. The people who created ZocDoc found the major pain points in healthcare, all things that weren't working, and said, you know what? That's enough. And they made booking a great doctor surprisingly pain-free. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Read up on local doctors, get verified patient reviews, and see what other real humans had to say about their visit. So when you walk into the doctor's office, you're set up to see someone in your network who gets you. Go to ZocDoc.com, choose a time slot, and whether you want to see the doctor in person or do a video visit. And just like that, boom, you're booked. Go to ZocDoc.com/victory and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then you start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/victory. ZocDoc.com/victory.
All right, welcome back, Victor, to the podcast. All right, season 3, episode finale.
Season 3B, episode 8, Adios Amigos.
After we just watched it together, and after we watched it, Dylan said, I remember, you know, all the pressure you put on yourselves for the finales every year. And really. Yeah.
You were so stressed.
This was the guy.
And he would stress you out. Yeah, because Connolly would always go, hey, Doug, you better do a good one, man.
The finale better be the best.
People
look forward to the finale, right? It's like that cliffhanger. You know what else?
They do, but it's not helping. Connolly would be
out at shelter with Leo and Toby having the time of his life. I'd be sitting alone in a room, and he'd be calling up, be like, yo, everybody's really hoping you're going to pull through on this finale, you know?
Good luck. Yeah. We're all counting on you.
But you always did, Doug. You always did. This one was a great ending.
I really
a great season.
Yeah.
A big season. Three, a lot going on. Yeah, it really
20
was.
20 episodes.
So how exhausted were you guys at the end of this? Like, I mean, what is it? 4 months we shot?
No, that one was longer, bro. That was like 8 or 9 months, man. That
really?
Was, yeah, yeah. That was 20 episodes. That's it. You know, you figure, you know, and I tell like guys in the office, like when we talk about Ramble On, you know, we shot Ramble On for 8 days and you would think the place was in smithereens. Everybody was so exhausted after the 8 day shoot. And I thought season 3 of Entourage was a 110-day shoot or something crazy like that. 110 days, 14 hour days, company moves. I mean, it was just a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on. Yeah. But there was a couple things. So we talked about, I mean, again, Reese and, you know, you think we could get Goldberg on the podcast? I don't know the guy. I mean,
I don't know him either, but yeah, I think everybody is going to come on. We just got to,
right.
Yeah. We need like a Stock Tip needs to step up and be a producer. He needs to start calling. You hear me, Stock Tip? Say something.
I don't think we want him calling people.
I had sales for 10 years. I am good at calling.
Yeah. So Stock Tip, his claim
all right,
to fame.
All right. I like that.
Claim to fame. Whatever Long Island guys that were out there, but Stock Tip claims that him and the late great Mike Bossy, one of Connolly and I's heroes from childhood, a New York Islander, one of the great all-time NHL scorers, but they both sold what, Islanders season tickets? Is that what it was?
And sponsorships. We had many meetings together.
So okay, but
boxes.
You claim like you guys would compete as if, you know, like Stock Tip would come in and finish off Mike Bossy's sales.
Dave straight up claims that Bossy stole a big sale from
Breitling.
Really sad, by the way, because, you know, just looking back at times, Mike Bossy, if he played in the NHL today, would be worth $200 million.
He would not be
talking to Stock Tip or competing.
He's Alexander Ovechkin. He's sitting in his box and he's playing.
And right now, 99% of this podcast audience probably has no idea who we're talking about. But anyway, look him up. So it's sad. But the episode was really great. and really felt so alive. And Mylod, who is one of the biggest TV directors in the business now, who does Succession, Shameless, Game of Thrones, and you know, this looks amazing. You know, like it looks like a big movie, this episode. Yeah. And
you know what? I had the memory. Oh, man, I will admit this was a stupid thing to do. What I did not do it on purpose. But when we were doing the press junket for. Because the episode ends, Adios Amigos ends with us on the balcony.
Gypsy Kings comes on,
and we tell, E and Vince tell Drama Turtle, hey, we got the money, we're making Medellin. They do a toast. Dylan says something horrendous in Spanish, whatever it was, about Colombia, and we're off to Colombia. When we were doing the promotion for, I said on a panel, I wasn't in trouble, but like Carolyn Strauss, who's scary. Carolyn Strauss is big boss.
Big executive at HBO.
I said at the end of on the panel, I said, well, let's just say that, you know, the season ends with the guys heading out to Colombia. I don't know why I would say that. But
I gave up information.
I said it. I said it on a panel. The place applauded. It went crazy.
Carolyn got mad?
Not mad. Well, but
he kind of gave away the storyline.
How did you even know? Because I never shot it.
We shot it and it was already done and was like, I don't know. I got caught up like in the moment on this panel. I was like, oh, let's just say. And nobody was mad. It was just like.
And by the way, that's
like, dude, what do you.
That's the next episode coming up, which I do remember. That's kind of.
Which
that's
is your favorite, Kev.
Welcome to the Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle.
It's a unique episode. It's not documentary like any style. Other. It's totally documentary
it's
style.
It's like not even close to anything that season 4, episode 1, Welcome to the Jungle is. I remember when Doug was pitching it, I'm like, all right, okay, I guess.
Whatever, dude.
Whatever. We're doing like the Hearts of Darkness version.
Apocalypse Now, the making of Medellin.
But I think, you know, season 4 is going to be a fun one to cover because. Medellin, and then it ends, right?
I don't know. We'll get into that whole season.
I'm pretty sure the season 4 finale is Can.
All right, wow. But what else are we going to talk about with this episode? Tell me what it was like. I mean, looking at the, you know, the porn set, those are real porn stars.
Oh, yeah, they were all real
And we really did. Everything that we tried to do, as ridiculous as it is, you know, like we wanted it to feel real. And that's a real porn star who he's talking to. I forgot was even in the show. I don't remember her name. Maybe.
But it's funny.
Was there actual sex going on the set?
There was.
Because I heard that maybe there was.
Dave Perkel likes to tell this story,
Perkel said that there was real
sex. We edited this story out, which I'll tell it less grotesquely than David.
And not only that, I love Perkel, and I'm sure he's listening to this. I don't know if I believe this story.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, let me tell you what
he
says.
It just sounds. Have you ever heard the story, Dylan?
A
version of it. Okay.
Let me tell you what Perkel says happened. The cinematographer is known as the DP, the director of photography.
Yeah.
This is a different terminology than is used in pornography. Okay.
We're not talking Dr. Pepper.
And if you watch when we walk in and we sit at the table with Billy Walsh and he's like talking about his picture, however many picture deal.
Yeah.
You could see this couple in the back.
Yeah. And this couple was real porn people.
Right.
And
I don't know if they were having, it looked like they were.
I'm not going to tell you I saw them having sex. And honestly, I was uncomfortable by the whole thing. You realize that a porn set is disgusting. Whether you like porn or not, the actual live people and it's really gross.
Yeah.
But Perkel comes on and he's the cinematographer and he's walking around with his fucking light meter. And he goes up to that couple. And
they're sitting behind there. If you watch the shot, they're behind us on the other side of the pool and he's sitting down and the girl is on top of him.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. It looks real.
Allegedly having sex, but Perkel is holding the meter up for them for lighting to make sure they look good. And he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm the DP. He claims. He claims that the guy goes, all right, man, jump on in.
The director of photography.
No, Perkel, by the way.
He probably, wanted to jump in knowing Perkel.
It's one of those things where, A, I don't see why he would make that up, right? But it just is too.
It's very
it's
creative,
too
either way.
Clean of it, or not clean. But I mean, imagine Perkel.
I believe him.
But the guy was like, "All right," and he like spun the girl. Like, I don't know. Right?
By the way, it would have been funny in the show if we actually had that happen. Would have been so. Perkel should have told me immediately.
Told that happened.
Could have figured it out. But
that would have been funny.
It was funny, but the porn set.
Do you think that happened?
I don't
some you know, version of it.
Why
maybe.
Would he make it up? Where would he come up with it?
Where would he come up with it? There's zero upside for him to come up with that story. It just sounds unbelievable. And what are we saying? This because I did want to tell this story. What are we saying? Are we saying little person?
You have to say Jerry Jones got in trouble for that word. By the way, not for nothing. And Dylan is never means to offend anybody. So let's be clear. Intention to me, I think, is the most important thing when you accidentally say an offensive word. But the word he said that Jerry Jones got in trouble for the M word. That's been troublesome for a while. That was like 10 years ago. You weren't supposed to say that. But anyway, little person, I believe, is what they say. They might have changed it from that. Did you see the shit? New York, they don't want you to say inmate anymore. They're legally changing it to incarcerated.
What?
No, fuck, I forgot what
that already sounds like a mouthful.
It's so complicated, I can't remember. So now I don't even know what I would say. Oh, you were I don't know.
Inmate. I just said it.
Yeah,
you're
canceled, bro.
No, I'm going to keep saying inmate.
You're going to go to jail for that. You're going to be whatever the new term is soon. But.
So I have, you know, that's like one, that's probably my moment in the episode, right? Where I basically
incarcerated individual.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Dave, incarcerated individual.
Yeah, I mean, ridiculous.
Don't interrupt me ever again. So I'm having this moment where I say, oh, well, what do you need, Billy? You got it all right here. Like, you know, and it's like a big thing. It's a speech. It's like, you know, I'm selling him
hard on it.
I'm selling him on the movie. So camera's on me and rehearse and do the scene. And there's nothing funny about what I'm saying. So I know. And I'm like looking and all of a sudden I just see almost everybody on
the whole crew is busting
out
laughing.
It's like laughing, like they're like on the floor laughing. And I'm like, cut. I'm like, and then it's just an explosion of laughter. And I'm like, what happened? And
what's
you know,
funny?
He sent the naked little person through the background of my shot. And the guy was like, you know, whatever. He was naked. It was like a naked little person walking.
Can I confess something?
Yeah.
So I'm a hack. I stole that. I told Dylan before we started. So the Zucker brothers, greatest, you know, up there with the greatest comedy.
Was your idea to send that
time.
Guy through the shot?
Well, I don't remember exactly how good. Right. What I can tell you for sure,
I was not happy.
It was my idea to have. It was my idea to have him in the show, and where Milad placed him. I don't remember exactly, but the Zucker
placed
brothers,
him behind me in a very important scene.
The Zucker brothers did Airplane, and you know, just Naked Guns. So I saw them at the Cinerama Dome on like the 20th anniversary of Airplane, and they talked about things and they showed scenes from other movies, and it may have been Kentucky Fried Movie. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they showed a scene where two doctors in a hospital, someone out there knows what this is, are having a serious conversation. Behind them, a little person is trying to reach a phone that is very high up.
Oh, Jesus.
So they are not looking. They are talking like whatever, like he's dying of cancer or whatever it is. Behind them, this little person is jumping up as high as they can to reach this phone and knocking it off like a basketball thing. And the audience is dying. They're not even listening to the conversation. So I know the scene in this was a little more, we wanted to hear what you were saying, right. But we also wanted the big laughs. And you were, by the way, you were pissed.
You were pissed. I don't get pissed. I was disappointed.
I was disappointed. No,
you
were pissed.
I didn't get pissed.
He's sad.
I was annoyed.
He expected more out of you.
I was annoyed. A, well, like, give me the heads up so I'm in on the joke.
I actually did not want you to know about it. I didn't want you distracted, and Myla didn't
distracted,
want you
distracted. My back turned. I didn't even see the thing until it aired.
But you would have known.
It is distracting. You could see everyone laughing.
Right. Like in my eye line, I can just see 100 people like rolling around laughing. So, I wasn't. Man, I was like a little bit. I was like the only one not laughing.
You weren't in on the joke.
I was not in on the only one. I was just like,
he thought
like
his performance could carry the scene. We didn't need to stuff a little person in the background. But.
Yeah, or not even that. It's like, you know, it was like a real. It was a real. It might have been my season defining moment with regards to, you know, help getting this movie made. So yeah.
That being said, you wouldn't take the little person out of that shot.
In hindsight, it's hilarious. But and also too, it's funny that Vince is working like what? So Billy Walsh takes the script to go read it, and we're like waiting around the set, and Vince is running lines with the porn star. It's ridiculous.
He's like, that was great. I bought that. That was really good. You want to run it again?
But it really was. I mean, it was a super awkward day. Reese is killing it so bad that like that actual acting part of it, but kind of between the takes, and that kind of was kind of awkward.
Yeah,
it just was. Everybody was the only people that had clothes on was me and Adrian and Reese. Everybody else was pretty much naked, so it was a little awkward. But yeah, that's one of those things like, oh man, that must have been so fun. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
It was pretty wildly uncomfortable. Yeah. You just didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
Like everybody would put their bathrobes on. It's like, okay, rolling. And then all of a sudden, everybody in the place is naked. There's fake sex. You're just supposed to act like there's nothing going on. Oh. E and Vince are just like hanging out on the porn set while Reese reads, while Billy Walsh reads the script, you know?
It's really, it's funny as hell. I'm like, that's where they're chasing him. And Reese is still, he's so good. Or Billy Walsh, whatever, is just like,
he seemed totally at home too there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's
pushing, he's in it. Pushing.
He's talking about the camera, but there's sex going on at the same time.
Are you ready for the pop shot? What do you say? You useless.
Useless putts.
You useless putts. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. There are so many ways to support a healthy brain. I've talked about it before. I love to take a power nap. I also love to put my phone down, get out there, and play 18 glorious holes of golf. But there's also BetterHelp online therapy. Now, when we talk about therapy, some people, oh, I don't need therapy. It's not for me. Well, regardless of whether or not you think you need it, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but there is zero downside to therapy. It's never going to hurt you. It can only help you. And BetterHelp online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. You don't even need to see anybody. You can turn your camera off. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off the first month at betterhelp.com/victory. That's better, HELP.com/victory.
Vincent Gallo, who's a very successful director, was doing things that were almost pornography in some of his movies. And, right. You know, he was the guy that we really tried to get for this before we found Reese. And it's everything in this episode is a very realistic look at independent thing, except I don't know that anyone writes a check for $30 million.
I called that out.
Dylan is like, no, you can't have a check. It's got to be come from a
it's
bank.
It's got to be a banker's check.
You can't rip one out of the checkbook and write it out for $30 million. But that's like, you know, true Entourage style. Yeah. But, Doug, I guess, you know, it's interesting to, because I'm sure we're going to get into this, but touching on what Final Cut is.
Yeah. So Final Cut, which is very hard to get, you know.
Tarantino and Scorsese get Final Cut.
Yeah, and luckily I got it on Ramble On, by the way. So
nice.
Yeah, so which I think you guys are happy about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, better you have Final Cut than somebody else.
Yeah. By the way, he's not giving me the full, of course, we love that you have
I'd like to be in on this Final Cut. How do I get in?
Thoughts on the Final Cut, but explain what Final Cut.
So Final Cut really means you have the last say in what will be in this movie. So very often, and as we've talked about on the Ramble On podcast here at Action Park Podcast One Connection, right? Is that too early to tell? But anyway, Final Cut means that person can decide. If I'm like, oh, that scene is not funny and somebody else thinks it is funny, the person with Final Cut gets to determine that. And if you watch, which is...
Usually the studio will have Final Cut, right? Yeah. Like at the end of the day, HBO had Final Cut of any episode of Entourage. Now
they didn't touch it. Didn't they leave it alone?
But it becomes a thing, and as a director, very, very, very few people have Final Cut.
They certainly didn't leave it alone in the early stages, the pilot especially. I mean, they had tons of comments on that. But by season three, like at this point, they were letting us do what we want to do, which was great. And, you know, I was...
So you would turn your cut in.
Yeah.
And then HBO would take it, and would they...
They'd give thoughts, but they weren't...
Gotcha. And they would tell you what to do, like...
Yeah, but by this point, they were no longer telling me what to do. They were saying what they thought and do what you want. But, you know, everybody wants it. But the truth is there's a lot of directors, and I'm not one of these producers, whatever you want to call me. I want it to be the quickest, fastest, most entertaining thing. And if something is on the bubble for me, it's gone. Like if it's not like... You know, I think it's great, and that doesn't mean it's always going to be great. But I try to, that's why the episodes do feel so quick and so short, and even Ramble On. We know how much I've changed it, even when we all thought it was done. So I obsess over every single moment and trying to keep it moving. But a lot of directors, including some of the best in the world, you know, when they get Final Cut, they will leave things very long. And, you know, we can debate
that's
it all we want.
That's usually what happens. Nobody cuts them short. The directors always
leave
them long.
But at the end of the day, the point is, like, for example, and again, I'm not saying that HBO was in on this. I know that it was you guys wouldn't do that to Vince, where Vince would go upstairs and have sex with Yair's wife.
It just would kind of assassinate his character.
Yeah, it just would have been bad for his character. But let's say Doug was just hell-bent on doing that. Yeah. Theoretically, HBO could come back and say, no, he's not doing that.
Right. Well, we've talked about the episode where Ari basically sells Lloyd to get a big writer who wants to fuck Lloyd. And Ari basically makes him go down. And Carolyn, who I love and always gave great notes, she's like, I'm not telling you what to do. I don't like this. But when she saw it finished, she actually said she was wrong. And then even in addition to this, and Mad Men is probably top three of my favorite shows of all time. But after we did that episode, I'm not saying they stole it. I'm not even saying Matthew Weiner's ever seen Entourage. I have no idea. They did the exact same storyline where Joan, to get the Jaguar account, has to go have sex with the head of Jaguar. So, you know, it was a realistic story while it seems pushed out.
Yeah, no, I mean, the final cut thing, it comes up a lot. Usually the studio will have final cut. Mm. Like, yo, you can't turn in a 3-hour movie.
And I will say to you, Kevin, maybe you don't want to talk about this right now, but, you know, Quentin Tarantino is probably one of my favorite filmmakers, and every movie is great. But Connolly got to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood before I did, and he knows how much I love Quentin. Mm. And you called me and said, the end of the movie is going to hit you so hard, but you got to not give up in the middle. And the truth is, there were four.
Hang in there, because it pays off big.
You could have cut a half hour out
easily.
Of that movie.
You could always do that. Yeah. Right?
No, you can't always do it. That's why I say there's no Entourage episodes. You can't cut.
You can't cut
into
5 minutes.
They would be gone. So again, I'm not Quentin Tarantino. God bless him. I would have liked to see Irishman also, which I love.
That was long.
They could have taken a half hour out of this. Oh, I remember I saw Irishman with Mike Young, and I remember looking over. I'm like, how much time is left? And he was like, an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, what? So, you know.
They'll listen. You're right. It just is, what do they call it? Like heads and tails. Like, do I really need to see you walk all the way down the hallway and turn in, or can you just be turning in?
But sometimes a movie...
Maybe Tarantino likes to have you walk down the hallway.
I sometimes movies, like to see that, too.
But there's some movies that don't need to be cut. The Offer, they show this with The Godfather. I watched Godfather 1 and 2 over the last couple of months after seeing The Offer. I wouldn't cut a single second out of those movies. Neither. So they were perfect.
In hindsight, but at the time, maybe you're watching it going, the studio's going. Did Coppola have final cut on Godfather?
You know what? No, not according to The Offer. You know, according to The Offer, the studio did, but he had to convince them with Al Ruddy, the producer. You know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, just to be clear, I fucking love the movie.
Great
but movie. I would like it better 35, 40 minutes shorter. Yeah, I would, you know?
Right.
But
the question is, if Quentin doesn't have a final cut, does somebody at Warner Brothers go? No, but somebody at Warner Brothers go, buddy, listen, of hate course. To break it.
Oh,
to
yeah.
You, we're gonna take tight 30.
I mean, you know, based on just money, if it's under 2 hours, you can make more money because there'll be more screens.
A 3-hour movie is X amount less screenings
never thought of
a
that.
Day.
That's
yeah,
a good point.
That's
so, but I just think that the movie should be as long as the movie needs to be, and nothing I've ever written needs to be 3 hours. And
I have one thing: if your movie's 3 hours, it better be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it better be world class. Yeah. And you know what? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Irishman, they are awesome.
Is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Does it hit 3 hours?
It gets damn close.
It's 250 or whatever.
And by the way, when you watch it on cable, you can turn on Quentin and Scorsese. You can turn on almost any scene and watch from anywhere. So it's just that first time when you're in a theater for 3 hours, you want to hopefully go, wow, I'm shocked that was 3 hours. And both those movies, I was like, yeah, those are 3 hours. They felt it. So anyway, that's what Final Cut is. And
it's important. It's important.
What else can we talk about this?
Type.
Adam Goldberg, we got to get him on the podcast. Amazing. Colleen Camp, we should get on the podcast.
She'd be great.
Is there anything else on this?
Just the end of season. I mean, just a season three, maybe our best. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be.
There are people that would say that.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing I'll talk about.
I would say
to
two
say
or
goodbye
three,
on this, though.
Three.
We end it on Dylan in Spanish, which your Spanish was awesome.
I wish I could remember what I said there. But
so you like studied how to get the accent right because you sound good, you know?
Yeah, I just tried to put a little. I didn't really study, but.
So I want to talk about
Dylan's
this.
Dylan's not just like rolling up and looking at that for the first time. He did that.
But I want to talk about something else regarding the podcast. And I won't say the company name yet till we figure out this, if it's actually happening, this deal. There is this company, and this is the future, which is wild. They allegedly can take our voices.
Not allegedly. I heard it, bro.
You heard us?
No, I've heard the technology.
All right, so let me tell you what they can do. I'll stay allegedly until I hear it because it's crazy. They can take our voices without us doing anything. They can listen to this podcast, take them, enter them into their supercomputers or whatever they do.
Algorithm.
And they can spit us out in any language with our voices, with the inflections that would be proper for that language, whether it's Mandarin, Spanish, French. It sounds insane, but like some of the deep fakes that you've seen on TV. And what they say is coming within a few years, instead of the dubbing, like, I don't know who watched Squid Games. I accidentally turned it on with the dub on, which it ruins the whole thing, you know? Like
they claim to be 5 years out of being able to change your mouth.
So essentially, they would take Entourage and you would sound perfect in any language in the world. And
okay, I believe that they could do that. The inflection part, I feel like that could be a little trickier. Right?
Of course it could be, but that's what they're working on.
How are you going to get the moments of where you
I'm not smart enough to tell you, but I will tell you this.
So it would be, for example, you know, we release our podcast on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, don't get crazy, not this episode, but theoretically, if we all agree to do this and we move forward, I wanted to talk to you guys about it, but we would release a podcast, the same podcast in multiple languages on the same day.
I mean,
which
it's
is
crazy.
Very cool.
I mean, again, it's
kind of
like,
scary at the same time.
Yeah, well,
right?
They could also have us say anything.
Yeah, I mean, there is, and I said that to the guy, and he said, quite, I asked him, I said, well, what about the deep fake? And he said, quite frankly, that's where we are, right? Like that's what safeguards are they putting in place to ensure? But at the end of the day, what can they do? They could already do it anyway.
Yeah, they could do it anyway.
They apparently have the technology that will be great. And if you've ever been in France or anywhere and Friends comes on and you see the bad dubbing and the bad accents,
oh yeah,
they would really take the actual actors' voices and make them and their mouths seamlessly move so that it's playing in that language. So
just imagine this opening up and Doug is like, hola!
We'll finally have people say Medellin correctly. So that's
I'm with you. I believe these guys and whatever. When we are able to tell you what the company, you'll see this is not like some like Mickey Mouse.
Well, I'm excited.
Sounds great, man.
But could you, it's gonna be a trip to hear us. This identical thing with
Hola,
my inflections.
Me amo Kevin Dillon.
Joyce said Kevin Dillon.
Yeah. Victoria.
It's going to sound
I'm excited to hear it. So, and I'm excited we'll come back and we'll find some more guests because everyone was excited about Gary Cole and Marlon Young.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll find some more and we'll be back soon.